Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, our good friend Todd Sadowski is joining us this go-around, the end of the regular season for Penn State, coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And it was a good time this past weekend. I thought, guys, maybe Penn State's best all-around performance. So we're going to talk about Penn State's win over Maryland. 31-3 was the final. We'll look around the Big Ten a little bit, and for the first time, we're going to dive into some Penn State basketball action. Jeff Brown's going to join us to wrap up the show, but we'll get started as we usually do, guys, looking back at Penn State, Maryland. What'd you think about the performance? Because it was a tricky performance on paper coming into this, a really tricky thing to gauge given how well Maryland ran the football, how competitive they were against Ohio State. But Penn State's defense really came to play, I thought.
Yeah, certainly. I think it was a game where when it all was said and done, Maryland was just spent from that game against Ohio State. To go to overtime, to lose to, at that point, the number 12 team in the country, I guess they were, it doesn't really matter, but to lose to a team that, you know, obviously had playoff and Big Ten title hopes still in the balance, and to be that close to getting bowl eligible, and then you have to go on the road to Beaver Stadium. It's not like Maryland's had a lot of success there. The quarterback play, I mean, talk about the quarterbacks that Penn State has faced since Ohio State. I mean, it's just awful. I mean, I'm still not sure how Michigan State beat Penn State. They almost lost to Rutgers because the quarterback play was bad. Then you have the trio of Nate Stanley, Jack Cohn, and the Pigram kid on Saturday. It wasn't very good. I mean, Penn State
Pigram
took
made a couple throws.
A couple.
But there was a bunch of times where he held the ball too long or whatever. But.
And to Penn State's credit, the defensive line was seemingly making him either run or at least be uncomfortable almost every time he dropped back. But he wasn't very good. Penn State shut down the McFarland kid. He had 12 yards on 6 carries. Nobody did that for the most part this season. So they took apart the game plan that Maryland really wanted to use and ran with it, and then obviously scored enough on offense to win going away.
Did you say it's over, the regular season, Dustin, already? It's done.
Blink of an eye.
It's already over, 9-3. A couple of takeaways from the Maryland game was, one, thank goodness they stopped the jet sweep from Matt Canada. Yeah. Wasn't that a thing of beauty to watch him actually game plan and stop a jet sweep? That was really nice to see. And, you know, for Maryland, I think they couldn't get the season over with fast enough. Look, this is the ultimate hammer and nail series. You know, Maryland is the nail, and Penn State just continues to hammer them. The time they did lose to them a few years ago, the Terps celebrated like they won the national championship. But yeah, it was a complete effort. And look, I give the coaching staff credit in making, you know, Penn State finish the season strong. They keep their goals in mind. This is, you know, some of that you can certainly attribute to Trace McSorley and the fact that he's going to certainly give you everything he's got every single time. And I thought it was a really big difference in what you saw from Trace health-wise. The fact that when he's – and that's, I think, really – hurt them in that middle of the season, the knee injury. When he's not effective running the ball, this offense is just not the same, period. End of story. When he's fresh, when he's ready to go, and he can burst through, like when he ran the second touchdown run and he saw daylight and took off and was gone, that makes this Penn State offense very, very different. Last year, you didn't need it quite as much when you had Saquon Barkley there, and a little bit different with the passing game was much more effective. But without the passing game being as effective as it was the previous 2 years, you needed Trace healthy for this offense to be at optimal performance.
And it's kind of like a triple whammy of sorts. When he can't run it, it changes the math on the other side of the field too. It changes the dynamic of the offense. It impacted his ability to deliver accurate balls. I don't care what that showed up against Rutgers again last week, which was one of the bigger concerns, is that, you know, his guys aren't hauling in catchable balls, let alone the ones that are
because
off the mark.
And because it's not just running the ball for rushing sake, it's to sidestep the rush. It's to, you know, the thing about Trace McSorley in the passing game, which makes him so effective, is when he makes a quick little move left or right to buy that extra second or two, or he's even keeping his eyes downfield when he's moving forward and he hits the target.
You
and
saw it right really away, that yes. first drive, that ball he right. delivered to Hamler, he slid in the pocket and delivered a perfect strike down the field. I'm not sure we saw anything like that against Rutgers, and it was good to see that. And now, of course, you'll have you know, a few weeks to for everybody to get healthy and to prepare. And you, it was one of those days where you left the stadium with a better taste in your mouth if you're a fan, and you left the stadium feeling like this team is still ascending to its peak. And that feeling wasn't there. You know, we got accused of being overly negative against Rutgers, but that was just a game where a lot of the same issues popped up. This was a game where they were really never threatened, and they played some of their best football.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you talk about peaking at the right time, certainly they did, and they did it against an opponent that, for a variety of reasons, did not play its best game. But you know what? Penn State did a lot of things to make sure they could not play their best game, even if they wanted to, guys. And I think that ultimately, we've been waiting for 11 weeks now for Penn State to take control and dictate a game on their terms and say, we're going to do X, Y, and Z that we do very well. And you're either going to have to A, find a way to stop it, or B, find a way to outscore us. And Maryland was never, you know, up for that challenge on Saturday at Beaver Stadium.
Look, give them a couple more touchdowns. It's still a blowout. It just wasn't a close game, and Penn State outclassed them all the way. And look, hindsight's 20/20, and then we get the whole offseason to do a lot of that, right? But what stood out to me is when, again, talking about the Trace injury, I think from a coaching staff perspective, they're probably looking back at things and going, yeah, we should have used Tommy Stevens a lot more when Trace was trying to get himself healthy. And I know Trace earned the right to be out on the field, but at the same time, the ultimate goal is to win the game and have your offense running as well as it can be running. And so we probably should have used Tommy Stevens more and letting Trace get healthy, or at least make him a bigger part of the game plan.
I'm talking Penn State, Maryland. Penn State 31, Maryland 3 to wrap up the regular season. 9-3. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Speaking of the Maryland game, I was able to go and experience the GoPSURV lot for the first time this year, and it is a phenomenal thing. It's basically like if you're going to have the tailgate experience for an entire weekend without the restrictions that Penn State puts on you, party scene, like, you know, the weather and all that stuff kind of impacted the way that the whole weekend went. It was a ghost town around Beaver Stadium.
It sure
but,
was.
You know, you picture all that on, say, an Ohio State weekend. I thought it was phenomenal. Mark and his guys do a really awesome job of accommodating everything, and it was cool to get there and see it. I took the shuttle over from the lot to the stadium, which was a quick, I don't know, 15 minutes maybe, mm-hmm, ride. And I'm definitely looking forward to doing it again. You can, I would say, don't forget about GoPSURV.com as you get into the spring, and certainly going into next season as well. So I wanted to thank Mark publicly for that. This game, guys, senior day, and you see Trace McSorley taking the victory lap. He gets his curtain call. His last throw at Beaver Stadium goes for a touchdown. Ty, what do you think? Just it was you know, I think people were feeling it more than I was really thinking about. Like, I came to the game not really thinking about this dynamic, yeah, but you could feel the gratitude in the air, yeah, I think is a good way to put it.
Well, it's funny because Coach Franklin struggled, right, all year, kind of, when do we take him out? When do we put him back in? And it was the perfect time to exit stage left from Beaver Stadium and to get him his curtain call and to, you know, let the fans appreciate what he's done. And look, one thing you cannot deny, and whether you are disappointed they're 9-3 and you wanted them to be 10-2 because they should have beat Michigan State, all that type of stuff, this has been a with Trace McSorley at quarterback, it has been an unbelievably entertaining team to watch. And just think about the moments that he's helped create in the last three seasons for Penn State fans to watch. And, you know, I for one, am appreciative for the fact that I've had a chance to be there up close and personal and watch a lot of this stuff, because it's, man, it is really, really fun to watch him play football.
Yeah, I mean, one of the guys that, whether I think some people maybe underappreciate it, maybe some people, and I've been told this, thought maybe that he meant a little bit more to the team than some others thought. But, you know, look, at the end of the day, I mean, watching that kid play was really a treat for a lot of folks that are around this program, inside of this program, my fans, alumni, whatever. I mean, you always had a chance when you had him on the field. There's just really no way around it. And you can pick at some of the things, you know, accuracy this and miss this, that, the other thing. But at the end of the day, he took Penn State to heights that no one, I think, saw coming.
Isn't it funny to watch a program? We got to watch this program really going back to its lowest points back in 2011, 2012, and moving forward, how quickly the fan base can transition into entitled. And it's not just Penn State. When your team wins, you're only focused on the next win. A lot of fans watch their team with a really pessimistic eye. It's just what happens in college football. There are Alabama fans watching their team right now with a pessimistic eye. But I think with Trace McSorley, I think when you do have an opportunity for the dust to settle, you will realize that he was a huge part of a big transformation. You know, for this 9-3 season to be the down year, to be the disappointing down year.
You're right, though. People looking at it that way.
He guided through, and I think the whole 2014 class came in still under sanctions, still with no guarantees for anything. It was a hard rebuild job for James Franklin because numbers really hit their lowest points in 2014 and 15. They chose to be part of something that they knew wasn't going to be easy. And that was the Trace McSorley that a lot of people got to know and they got to love. You know, he was part of it, and he ushered in a brand new era. And you look at what Penn State's bringing back next season, there's a good chance that we're right back here in double-digit wins again.
I definitely think so. And you know, I haven't even mentioned the defense. I know, Dustin, you alluded to the defense. And then, you know, Greg, you alluded to the quarterback play in the Big Ten. Is there anyone out there that really scares you next year other than maybe Haskins? I mean, there's just not. I mean,
who might leave? If Ohio State is a college football playoff team, which is just a remarkable thing to be saying right now, and Haskins keeps pushing his stock higher and higher, there's a good chance Haskins is back.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this defense looks formidable. I mean, they look really, really solid, and especially in the Big Ten. You know, we're going to be talking about 20, 24 points winning football games easily next year against some of their opponents, and there's not a murderer's row next year of non-conference opponents. They got Pitt at home, and you know, all of a sudden
Idaho, Buffalo,
Wisconsin leaves the schedule. You know, Purdue is
back on the schedule.
You know, PJ Fleck rows the boat into town. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, it's just not that difficult a schedule that you're going to have to navigate. Other than you got to play Ohio State in November. No one wants to play Urban Meyer in November, but you know, you can worry about that when you worry about that. I think the future is really, really bright. And you mentioned the senior class, and of course, Trace wasn't the only member of it. They say it's a 21 member class. Only six starters are going. So right. What you found out is, as a lot of those guys were being introduced in that first class, really that comes in, is they were surpassed on the field. Great kids, but they were surpassed on the field by the subsequent recruiting classes, right? And so the talent that has been brought in since then has surpassed the upperclassmen when it comes to playing time. And that's a great sign for what's going to be ahead.
And you look at the 2014 class, under all those circumstances, you include Mike Gesicki, Chris Godwin was in that class, DeAndre Tompkins was in that class. Got a lot of mileage out of those guys. Even as you say, some of them started to fall more into reserve roles. So they finished 9-3. That's a class that won back-to-back double-digit wins, have a shot to do it again. We'll talk bowl game and the different scenarios. It seems that scope is narrowing a little bit the way things developed over the weekend. So we'll look at where we think Penn State's going. We'll also break down some of the more specific things, offense, defense, against Maryland. Stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.